George Barna, who is a Christian researcher, did a study on the evaluation of Americans and how they treat, the best way to put it, otherness. And he discovered that 95% of Americans believe in their spirit that they are self-sustaining, self-containing, do it yourself, don't need other people, I can make a way, and I am strong, and I can do it. The same people, though, discovered in the evaluation of themselves that they're, along with that sense of strong independence, if you live like that, there is a sense of dissatisfaction. There's an emptiness, and there's a void, and there's something missing in our life. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is that God created us with this tremendous need built in. In fact, we see the need represented in the very first pages of the Bible when God created Adam and created all of the animals and all the things that filled the earth and the vegetation and all that stuff that we read about in those chapters. And then came this this moment, this culminating moment when God evaluated what he had created, and it was all good, and he looked at Adam, and he said, perhaps to himself, perhaps to Adam, it is not good for man to what? Live alone. Now, we could say that's marriage. That could be, that's true. But at the heart of what the Creator was saying to the world and us in this day and age is that there is a need, that an intrinsic need that we have as human beings to literally need someone else. And if that need is not being met, then there is a void. I'm not just talking about the need for marriage relationships. That counts, but I'm just talking about human beings who need other human being. And so the reality is, and what we're going to talk about today a little bit, and then after next Sunday, our International Sunday, we're going to be talking about the importance of relationships. And essentially the crux of it is this, that God created you to need him and to need his people. Let's just see how the scripture unpacks this. I'm going to let you remain seated if you promise to read really loud with me, but help me out with this passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. I think it's on the screen behind me. Here we go. So now you Gentiles, let me just stop you right here. I got ahead of myself. Paul is talking to the Ephesian church, and he's making distinctions between the Jews who were God's people and Gentiles who were notoriously not God's children. And so the work of the kingdom of God is that everyone is equal. I like to say the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Aren't you glad for that? Regardless of your race, face, or place, the ground is level. We're all equal before God. And so Paul is making a case to the Gentiles and to the Jews that everyone is equal. And he's specifically saying these words to the Gentiles. So here we go again. Help me out. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's... Hang on to that slide right there. Let's say that final sentence there. Here we go. You are members of God's family. Verse 20. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. Verse 21. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So I want to go back a couple of slides, not literally, but in your mind, to remember that Paul is telling us that if we are part of the church, we are members of the same family. Just think about all of the Bible. There's a thread through all of the Bible where God's people are family. When you become a Christian, you become a child of... Right. As a child of God, God is our heavenly... So there is family woven. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm your brother. I know some of you are going, oh, wait a minute there. You know, that went better than I thought it would. Whoever you're seated beside who knows Jesus Christ, they are your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. We are members of the family of God way back in the old school. I would probably have everyone stand up and we would sing a song. Anybody know what the song was? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I know some of you are dying to do it. We ain't gonna. We're not gonna do it right now. But the reality is, God created us. We are all family. And if you're new to the church and you're new to Christianity, you're thinking, you know, this is really weird. But the longer you go and understand the church and understand the Word and understand a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will begin to understand that we can't go this road alone, church. None of us can be a Christian. None of us can serve the Lord. None of us can live our life without the camaraderie that comes from other people in the family of God to help us and to go with us and strengthen us. We were created not to live independently, but to live dependently on one another. So to be independent, not needing God, not needing His people, is to be distinctly non-Christian. You know, people have told me over the years, well, Pastor, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian and go to heaven. I'm not going to argue the point. There are many people who can't get out to go to church. We all know that dynamic. But let me just tell you this. To know Jesus is to know Him and to understand that He has put us together with other people. And if your choice is to go the journey by yourself, you already know that it is a difficult journey if you're going it alone. You may not have to attend church to make it to heaven. But let me tell you what, if you want to have a joyful, exciting, purposeful existence in this walk called Christianity, you are going to need Christ to help you along the way. Can I get a hearty amen to that? I know the introverts are saying, I can do it by myself. And there are some things we introverts can do by ourselves, but we all need at least one person to help us carry the load. So this morning I want to prove it by Scripture. And there are two important commands that Jesus gave about this very idea of needing one another. Here's the point. Point number one is this, and then I'll give the text. We are to be relationally connected to God. Remember the needing of one another. It begins by being relationally connected to God. Here's the text. In Matthew chapter 22, a legal expert came to Jesus one day and said, listen, you know, there are 600 plus commandments in the law. Jesus, would you tell us which command is the one that carry me through? I mean, here is a guy that was wanting to know, you know, there's so much. Just tell me what you want me to do. Just give me one good, throw me a bone, Jesus. And Jesus says this. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Jesus is reminding that legal expert, and he's reminding us that it all begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But the reality is, God sent Jesus into the world in order to die on the cross for our sins, that we can be forgiven and made right before God so that God and us could be reunited and have relationship. Jesus came into the world to establish relationship between us and God. So Jesus says the most important thing is for you and God to have a love relationship. Spiritually speaking, you need to love God. You need to let God love you. If you are here today and you're thinking, you know, really, look at what I've done. I want you to know that God knows what you've done, but He looks over your sins and He sees the possibility because He has the cross in view. And if you will just accept Jesus as your Savior and receive Him as your Lord and ask Him to forgive you, God will wipe away your sins, drop them into the deepest ocean, and as Corrie Ten Boom said in her book, put a sign on the bank that says, no fishing allowed. No fishing allowed. Sins are gone forever. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you love Him today with all of your heart, soul, and mind? It begins right there. And then Jesus goes on. And He says, and it's interesting because the man wanted to know the greatest commandment, right? And so Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then He adds a second. It's the second one is not underneath. It's not on top, but it is equal. The other one is just like it. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So not only are we to have a love relationship with God, we're supposed to have a relationship with others around us. To be relationally connected with God and to be relationally connected with others. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And loving your neighbor as yourself, considering the fact that God puts you on earth to be loved by others and to love others, and to recognize that it's a part of the Word. 4 years ago, here at Grace Point, we decided to add to the component of Sunday school classes, which many of us refer to them as Sunday school classes, but overall we call them all connect groups. We have connect groups that meet on Sunday morning at 9:30, and we decided that we would add connect groups that met throughout the week. So we began to promote it, and this is the fourth year, and I would say we're still fledgling in it. We're working at it, but our goal is that everyone who calls Grace Point their home church would be a people who would get plugged into a connect group somewhere, somehow. So connect groups is how we do family at Grace Point. Now, I was wanting to sort of, winsome, memorable way, describe this idea of doing family. And so I'm going to give us two descriptors today of what it means to have a need for a family, to describe the need for the family, to sort of unpack the truth of God's Word to need a family. So two descriptors for family. And here we go. Here's number one. You need a spiritual family with refrigerator rights. So let's just say you met someone here today, brand new, you never met them before, and thank God new folks are coming, and it's a joy that you're here. And so you get to know someone, you get their name, and somehow you tell them where you live. And so this afternoon, you've gone home, you're taking your Nazarene nap. And you hear a knock on the door. You go to the door, and there that person is. So you're rubbing the sleep out of your eyes, but you want to be hospitable, and you invite them into the house, and you sit down, and you engage in conversation, and before you know it, this person is up and into your kitchen, has reached into the pantry, pulled out a bag of bread, gone to the icebox, and grabbed the deli ham and the Swiss cheese and the mayo. And because everybody knows that a ham sandwich must have ketchup, they pull the ketchup out of the refrigerator and begin to make themselves a ham sandwich with cheese mayo and God's gift to humanity, ketchup. I know this is a new revelation for you. You thought I was going to say a Butterfinger blizzard. And you're like, you know, I'm such a people pleaser that I would let him do it because I would think he's really, he might kill me as the next step, so make your sandwich. But most people would get up and say, what are you doing? And the first thing you would grab is the ketchup and say, that is mine, and you would put it back. You'd put the mayo back. You'd put the cheese back. You'd put the ham back, and you'd throw the bag of bread in the pantry, and you'd say, that is just wrong. Refrigerator writes. Here coming up in Thanksgiving time, Jamie and I are going to have our family in. You know, if you've been to our house, you know it's not a big house. It's a nice house, but it's a smaller home, and we're great with it. But we're going to have about 22 people in our house. If any of you could build an addition between now and then, I would appreciate it. Just let me know. So, guess what? Thanksgiving time, they're all going to come like about a Wednesday. And there they are. And, you know, if one of those folks wants to make a ham sandwich with my bread and my ham and my cheese and my mayo and my ketchup, guess what? They can do it because they're in the family and they have refrigerator rights. Now, about Friday, I'm cutting them off. Right, hon? No, she says no. I have my own refrigerator. Here's a passage of scripture that sort of puts some sensibilities to this silly story. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Listen to the refrigerator rights language. Hey, let's just read it together. And all the believers met together in one place, and what? Yeah, shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. I like this one a lot. That's a good one. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So here the early church understood immediately that if we're going to function well, we have to give away refrigerator rights. Jamie and I have a connect group. We meet on Thursday nights, and it's a great group. When the drive on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., they refrigerator rights. I mean, they can go to the refrigerator and they can get a drink. They know where it all. They know where it all. I can't hide anything anymore. They have refrigerator rights. Now they stay till 10 o'clock. And it's okay. Because they have a refrigerator. Do you have anyone in the group, person, that has refrigerator rights? Truth be told, no, don't take this too seriously, but anyone who comes into our house has refrigerator rights. Love people. But we all need that extra person who can go in and get the steak and cook it, right? The second thing, this descriptor. Not only do we need the spiritual family with refrigerator rights, we need spiritual family with wrinkle shirt friends. Wrinkle shirt friends. So I couldn't think of a really good descriptor, so I just hung with my connect group idea. And by Thursday night, Friday's my day off, Thursday night, I've gone since Sunday and working hard just like you. By Thursday night, I start to turn into toast. I'm a little crispy. So I really don't care what I'm wearing. Jamie cares what I'm wearing, But I don't, you know, my shirts wrinkle, my shorts are wrinkled. I put socks on because I don't want people to see my naked toes. But other than that, I just am who I am. Hear the word of Paul in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. He says, therefore, accept each other as Christ accepted you. Can we all read the next line? So that God will be given glory. Did you pick that up, church? One of the things the church should be about is to be able to accept people for who they are, where they're at. Not that we're going to tolerate sin and say sin is okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about all of us have been in a sinful condition, and someone tolerated us into the kingdom. Right? And so to give glory to God is to accept each other as Christ has accepted us. And the reality is all of us have wrinkles, right? I have my baggage. You have your baggage. You have your stuff. I have my stuff. You've been through situations, and I've been through situations, and we look at others, and we say, there, but for the grace of God, go I. Have you ever done that? And you thank God for what he's protected you from, and all of that stuff. And the reality is, in the kingdom of God, in this whole operation called relationships, we need to develop a group of people. We need to submit ourselves, because that's what it's going to take for some folks who don't like that group thing. You know, there's people who say, you know, I've been to a small group, and there were some weird people in there, and I am not going back. So you have that scenario. You have people, just coming to my mind, people don't participate. There are people who have submitted themselves to small groups and with a rule of accountability, and you told a story, and someone went out and told your story, and you're wounded, and you'll say, I'll never do that again. You've been hurt. And so I know that there are legitimate things that keep us from investing in a group of people. But I want to encourage you. Come talk to me, or come talk to Autumn, or you know, we want to help you at least ease in, because we all need refrigerator friends. And we all need a place that we can wear our wrinkled shirts and our wrinkled life, and it would be okay. I think there are three words at the heart of family that describe connect groups. The first word is family takes commitment. So this is where you say, well, Pastor, you know, I went to that small group and everything was great, but there was this weird guy there. And my response is, exactly. Every group has some weirdo in it. You can decide who your weirdo is. I think in my group, it's me. We're safe. But here's the point. No group is perfect. No life is perfect. No person has got it all together. And when it comes to relationships, even marriages, it requires a commitment. I tell people all the time, you know, who come to me and say, well, listen, I don't like this or I don't like that. And thank God that doesn't happen a lot. But when I have the conversation, I'm going to go try a different church or whatever the scenario is. Now, I like to remind them that going to church is like a marriage. There's no better marriage than the one you're in if you're thinking about getting a divorce. And I'm not talking about if abuse is there or those terrible things, all the things logically, let's say, go. If you're being beat up, a young lady, then go. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about just tired of each other, tired of the stuff. So I'm going to get a divorce. Let me tell you, there's no better marriage than the one you're in. And if you don't believe me, and some of you know this, just divorce and remarry and then deal with the children and making it all work and spousal support and on it goes. I'm just telling us, when it comes to making a commitment, there's going to be some weirdness involved. And if you think, well, you know, I'm a part of a group and we don't have any weirdos, be careful, because you could be that one. Just a thought. Commitment. Just takes commitment. We got to love one another. That's the way it goes in the body of Christ. Love one another. Spots and all. Number two is this. Family takes commitment, and family has challenges. So you show up to your group, and one day someone's parent dies. One day someone's child goes astray. One day, your marriage is in trouble. One day, you lose your job. One day, you lose your house. And this stuff happens. There are challenges. Challenges come. And you gather around and you pray and you support and you encourage and you seek God for those situations. If you're a part of a Connect group, you know those things intimately. And you hold them sacred within your group. But there are challenges all around us. And we need each other to face those challenges. And thirdly is this. Family needs Christ. We just need Jesus. He's the heart. Jesus is the heart of everything. He's the one that came to model relationships. He's the man who hung out with the sinners. He's the one who hung out with the lame and the sick and the people discarded by culture. Jesus modeled relationship, and he models for us that Jesus is the starting point. The one who came into this world. The one who loves us so much. Who wanted relationships so badly that he was willing to submit himself to the cross. And because of today, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, anyone who confesses their sins and asks God to forgive them, who believes that Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven, Jesus, according to the word of God, will forgive you and wipe your slate clean. It all begins with Jesus. I think this is an important point because a personal relationship with Jesus is critical to heaven. Church is wonderful. Thank you for coming today, coming to worship. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But it's not enough to get you to heaven. Giving in the offering, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your giving. It's just, really, it's amazing how you're giving as a congregation. Thank you, but your gift in the offering plate is not enough to get you into heaven. Your good works, thank you. Thank you for them. Thank you for your service. Thank you, but if you're operating without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are lacking the heart and the necessity. Jesus says, no one gets to the Father, no one gets to heaven, unless he comes through him, Jesus, through Jesus. Have you been through Jesus? Have you established a relationship with Jesus? Do you have one with Jesus? We have our children here today. We had sickness in our children's workers, and so our first to sixth graders are here in the house this morning. And kids, I just want to be sure and for you to understand. And I know your moms and your dads and your grandparents are drilling this into you, but I just want you to know that God loves you. And at any age, if you ask, God will forgive you of your sins if you ask him to. Amen, big people. It's how many of us got started. I like the whole idea of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But the reality is, if we leave it there, it doesn't go far enough. So we have these two simple questions. We have one, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And here's the second of a relationship with Jesus. We believe in it so strongly here at Grace Point. We're not perfect at it, and we're growing in it. And the reality is, Jack mentioned in our announcements that we're going to be kicking off Connect Groups in the month of September, and we need more leaders. Right now, I have more people who want to be a part of a group than I have leaders. But God's going to help us, and if God's putting His touch on your heart, if you're a believer, you don't even have to teach. You just have to keep a conversation going, facilitate. If you would be willing to be a facilitator, we could use your help. But the reality is, not only do we need a personal relationship with Jesus, we need a shared relationship with Jesus where we do life together and carry one another's burdens. It's the way God created us, to love Him and to love each other. I'd like you to bow your head if you would this morning. I just want to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? You may, as you listen to my words, say to yourself, well, I don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. I've never really confessed my sins and asked Him to forgive me. I don't know this morning if should I die, God forbid, that I would go to heaven. I'm not assured of that. I don't really know if that's the truth. The Bible says that this Bible was written that you might know you have eternal life. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that you are in the right place. This is a divine appointment. God's been speaking to you, and He's calling you to Himself. His love is great. His love sent Jesus into this world, and He wants to love you with all of Himself if you would just be willing to love God and follow Him and serve Him. So maybe if that's you this morning, you would, right there in your seat, simply pray this prayer, and you could pray it quietly to yourself right there. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need a relationship with you. I ask you today that you would forgive me of my sins. You would wash them away. Take away the guilt. Take away the shame. Take away the fear. Forgive me. Prepare a place in heaven for me. I need you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for forgiving me. Just tell Him, thank you. Father, you know our hearts today. You know the struggle in someone's life this morning. You could have been speaking to this person for weeks and weeks, and today's their day. And there's fear, and they're wondering how they can live this faith out. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help each one to see that you'll help them. Because you love them. And the church will help them because we love them and we're sharing life together. So God, let there be no excuses here today. We call upon you today to do your work. And the Bible says, church, that if you call upon the name of the Lord with a sincere heart and ask Him to forgive you, He has forgiven you and your sins are washed away. I don't know if that's you today, but if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, He has done so. But I want you to look up with me. Stand if you would. It might be today that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you're resisting shared. You just, that's just kind of weird. You're not sure about that. But I want to pray for you right now as well. And just ask you in the next few weeks, just think about it. Invite the Lord into the conversation. If you're on the periphery, you think, well, I'm not into that sort of thing. I want you to know the Word of God.